While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, holding in his hands the rod, the umbrella, and the water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Ashwamedha Yajna. Munjame kalayavitam upavida janotaram chatalam vamanam vipram mayaman vakam harim. Appearing as a Brahmin boy wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deer skin, and matted locks of hair, Lord Vamanadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. Yajamana pramudito darshaniya manoramam rupanurupavayavam tasma asana maharat. Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamanadeva, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him a seat with great satisfaction. Swagatena bidandatta pado bhagavato bali avani jachayam asha mukta sangamanoramam. Thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was always beautiful to the liberated souls, Bali Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet. These verses from the 18th chapter of the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam are describing how long ago the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in the beautiful form of a dwarf of the name Vamanadeva. And with a begging pot, he went to the sacrificial arena of the king of the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems, Bali Maharaj, to beg in charity. What is so wonderful about this pastime is how the beauty of the Lord so much captivated the hearts of everyone, including Bali Maharaj, that he was willing to give him anything and everything. As we progress in Krishna consciousness, and as Krishna reveals his infinite mercy, his infinitely attractive qualities to us, naturally, we want to surrender everything for his pleasure. And this is how we can understand how we are making advancement in spiritual life. By what degree we are willing to give up anything, even our most cherished attachments in life, for the pleasure and for the service of Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive, like a magnet. And as our hearts become purified, it naturally becomes drawn to Krishna. And what does it mean when our hearts become drawn to Krishna? It means all of our desires, all of our aspirations and ambitions in life are simply drawn for the pleasure of Krishna. Bhakti Vinod has prayed, Manaso deho geho jo kichu mo apilun tu apade nandakishor. Revealing the quality of a pure soul, that my dear Lord, O Nandakishore, everything I have is yours, my body, my home, my wife, my children, my very life, it is yours. Our body, our mind, our words, our very soul, it is all Krishna's. And as Krishna reveals his love to us, naturally, we can do nothing that is apart from Krishna's will. So Vamanadeva appeared with such beauty. And he appeared as a beggar. And Bali Maharaj, so attracted by the wonderful qualities, was willing to give everything to the Lord. He had worked so hard to conquer the universe. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam how Bali Maharaj performed years and years of yajna and tapasya in order to gain powers to conquer the throne of Indra, the king of heaven, and all of the other planets. Through his great, great, great endeavor and his austerities, he had such power that all of the devatas, all of the controlling deities of the planets, had to run and hide. Do not think that what he attained came easily. But yet, for the pleasure of the Lord, he was willing to give it all up instantly. Within a moment. Of course, it was done in a wonderful form. Lord Vamanadeva begged for 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj said, "Why only 3 steps? I can give you so much. I am a very wealthy man. I am the king." Vamanadeva said, "All I require is 3 steps. I'm satisfied with nothing. I don't need anything you have. You have so much, but you are still dissatisfied. Just give me 3 steps. But Shukracharya, he understood that this was actually Lord Vishnu, the enemy of the demons, and Bali happened to be the king of the demons. And Shukracharya told him, "Do not give him anything. Because he's Vishnu. He will cheat you. He will take everything." Shukracharya was motivated because he was being paid and maintained by Bali Maharaj, and he would lose the assets of such a wealthy disciple if he were to lose everything. But Bali Maharaj replied, "If he's Vishnu, he's already the proprietor of everything. If he's Vishnu, the goal of life is to give everything to him." Bali Maharaj's grandfather, Prahlad, he prayed, "Natevidu swarata katim hi Vishnum," that the goal of life is to surrender to Vishnu. So what kind of guru are you? Guru is to teach one to surrender to Vishnu, and you are teaching me not to surrender to Vishnu. Therefore, you go away. He rejected his guru because he was not teaching the authorized process. And then Vamana Dev, he grew to such a size, Tribhikram. With his two steps, he covered all the lower and middle planets and the upper planets. And he pierced the covering of the universe from which the Ganges washed his fleet feet as it was coming through. And then Vamana Dev said, "Ah, Bali, you have promised me three steps. Now what else do you have to offer? I've only taken two steps. Therefore you are a liar. You are not living up to your promise." So he was tied up and arrested. Such humiliation. After Bali was willing to surrender everything, the Lord still humiliated him. He tied him up like a prisoner and brought him to his own court. When you become a devotee, do not think everything will be easy. And right before his own wife, Vindhyavali, her husband was reduced to nothing but a penniless prisoner. And all of the other demons, asuras, they saw, "Here is our king. Look at him." But Bali, he was quite satisfied. He said, "My Lord, you want to know where to put your third step? Please place it on top of my head. Because I have already surrendered all my wealth, all my fortune. Atmam Ivedanam. Now I want to surrender my life." And Bali Maharaj attained the perfection by surrendering his life. But the Supreme Lord, in this age of Kali Yuga, also appeared in his avatar of Vamana Dev. Do you know the story? It's a wonderful pastime. In fact, anyone who hears this pastime is certain to attain pure devotional service. So would you like to hear it? But you have to hear it with sincere faith. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, before he appeared, Lord Shankarshan, Balaram, partial expansion, appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother. His name was Vishwaroop. As both of these divine children were growing up, Vishwaroop was simply the embodiment of devotion to Krishna. He displayed the most exalted and attractive qualities. Everyone simply loved him. He was, in fact, completely disinterested in anything of this material world. He had no desire to take part in any social events, in any family affections. He was not concerned with anything but hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna and associating with the devotees of Krishna. But yet he was so polite, so respectful, so sweet and charming in all of his dealings with everyone, that he was loved by all. In fact, his humility and his kindness and his soberness were so great that he was the only person on earth that little Vishwambar, Lord Chaitanya's name when he was young, was submissive to. When Lord Chaitanya was a child, just like Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, he was so very restless and so mischievous that there was nothing his mother or his father or any of the neighboring people could do to subdue his very, very mischievous activities. But when he came before his brother, Vishwarup, he became very gentle and mild and submissive. Vishwarup would spend practically the entire day at the house of Advaita Acharya. Because each day the Vaishnavas of Navadvip would gather together at Advaita Acharya's house simply to have kirtan and chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And they would discuss beautiful topics of Krishna Katha. And Vishwarup, he was so learned. He was such a scholar of the scriptures that when he would speak from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, he would extract the essence of devotional service in such a wonderful way that all the devotees would be enraptured in divine ecstasy. And Advaita Acharya would roar like a lion in ecstatic approval of Vishwarup's wonderful, wonderful narrations. So it came to pass that Vishwarup became the life and soul of all the Vaishnavas. But in those days, the Vaishnavas, although they felt such joy and happiness amongst each other, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, devotees are never satisfied simply with their own spiritual ecstasies. Paradukaduki. Vaishnavas by nature are always concerned with the welfare of all living beings. So when they saw how the inhabitants of Navadvip had become so materialistic and so atheistic, it brought such sorrow and pain to their hearts. And although they were constantly chanting the holy names and praying for the welfare of all living beings, these people were so ungrateful. They were so ignorant. They would be constantly engaged in condemning, in blaspheming the devotees, and threatening their very lives. They would say such things as, "The sannyasi who renounces everything to live in the forest. The chaste woman who lives by such high regulated principles, so faithful to her husband. They die just like everyone else. So what is the use of all their so-called high life of religious principles? Those great scholars who study the Vedas and chant the holy names of the Lord, are they not dying like everyone else? But what do they attain in their life? They are beggars. And what is the Lord doing to help them? Our standard of success is when you travel in a palanquin being carried by four strong men with music and all sorts of ornaments around you, and luxurious home, and luxurious food." But these people, they are chanting so loudly the Lord's name and following so many regulative principles, but what do they get out of their life? In fact, their loud chanting of the name is disturbing to Lord Vishnu. And ultimately, he will destroy them. In this way, the common people condemned their best well-wishers. We see historically, throughout the ages, it is the tendency of ignorant people to consider their best well-wishers to be threats to their sense enjoyment and to their status quo in society. Anyways, when the Vaishnavas would hear these things, they became so sad. And even the so-called religious people, they would be giving pravachan, lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. But they would simply tell so many stories and so many philosophies, which were all concoctions and speculations. And they would not even touch the true essence of pure devotional service. In this way, even the highest, purest words of God were being perverted. So the devotees were so sad. And when Vishwaroop saw the condition of society, how people were worshipping so many demigods for so many material purposes, they would spend so much money lavishly on all sorts of materialistic family social events, he simply cried. And he was always thinking, I cannot stand to see the face of these people in such a suffering condition. And he would meditate on leaving home and going to the forest. So he would spend his day at Advaitacharya's house. One day, Sachi Devi told Vishwambhar that, you please go to your brother and ask him to come home for prasad. So Vishwambhar was just a very small child, and he was playing with his friends. And he ran very joyfully to the house of Advaitacharya. When he arrived there, he had bare chest, and he was covered with dust from his playfulness. And he came into the house just when they were in the midst of discussing very intensely the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna. And little Nimai, he was so beautiful. He completely charmed everyone's hearts. And he went to Vishwaroop and he pulled on his dhoti and said, Mother is calling you for prasad. Please come. And then the two boys ran to the home. And as the devotees saw, their eyes unblinkingly, seeing the beauty of little Nimai, they were so charmed. Their hearts were throbbing with ecstatic love. In fact, so much stunned by the beauty of Nimai, they couldn't even continue discussing the pastimes of Krishna. By the Yogamaya potency, they were not able to recognize that this was the Supreme Lord that they were singing about and glorifying throughout their lives. But yet, they all felt the same identical love that they felt for Krishna, for this little boy with golden complexion, who was the son of Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra. And Advaitacharya was thinking, this boy is extraordinary. He is not an ordinary human being. But by the arrangement of the Lord, he was not able to understand who he was at that time. Just after Vishwaroop took prasad, he immediately ran back to Advaitacharya's house to continue his wonderful narrations on the pastimes of Krishna. He would return home. Whenever he was home, he would be in the deity room worshipping Shalagram Shila. So his father and mother, they became very much afraid that he is so absorbed in associating with the Vaishnavas and so absorbed in the scriptures that he has no inclination toward material life. So we should get him married to a nice young Brahmin girl. When Vishwaroop heard the news that his mother and father were about to marry him, without saying anything to anyone, he left home and accepted the order of sannyas. He took the name Shankararanya because actually he was Lord Shankarshan himself. And he left, never to be seen by any of the inhabitants of Navadweep again. When the news came to Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra that their son had left home forever to take sannyas, their hearts were broken. It was like an ocean of pain that drowned their consciousness. Not only that, but all the inhabitants of Navadweep, whatever classifications they happened to fall into, they could not bear the thought that this beautiful, loving, kind-hearted child Vishwaroop has left us. And the Vaishnavas, headed by Sri Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, and others, they were simultaneously so happy that he has taken sannyas. That means he's perfected his life in renunciation. But at the same time, they were also submerged in depression that he was gone. He was our life and soul. He's the only reason we go on living. Advaita Acharya and the Vaishnavas, they all decided that without Vishwaroop, there's no meaning or purpose to our life. He couldn't tolerate seeing these suffering, miserable, materialistic people. Why should we? We should all go to the forest with him. But at that time, Advaita Acharya, he told the devotees that I have just had a realization. Joy is filling my heart that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he has appeared and he will soon reveal himself to us. So we should be joyful and we should all chant the holy names. So all the devotees gathered together in the house of Advaita Acharya and raised their arms and very loudly began to chant,
Hey, Krishna! Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
While they were chanting, little Nimai, who was playing with his friends, he ran right into the middle of the kirtan. And the devotees asked, Vishwambar, why have you come? And Nimai, with a very charming smile on his face, he said, I came because you called me. And then he ran away. And nobody could understand what sublime truth he was speaking. When the devotees chant the name of the Lord, they attract the Lord to appear amongst them. So they continue chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. But Sachi Mata and Shri Jagannath Mishra Prabhu, they were besides themselves in grief and depression. No one could console them. Although all the noble and pious people of Navadweep were coming, holding their feet and holding their hands and trying to say something to give them relief. They were telling Jagannath Mishra, actually, this is wonderful. Your son has taken sannyas. That means you and all of your ancestors and all of your forefathers, you will all be liberated because your son has taken sannyas. You should be proud. You should be happy. But his head was simply turned to the ground, downtrodden, with tears pouring from his eyes. His heart too broken to hear such encouraging words. And even when people started to cry to encourage him, as soon as he would remember Vishwarup, he would just begin to cry and call out, Vishwarup, Vishwarup. And Sachi Devi was in the same condition. In fact, even little Nimai, when he heard the news that his brother had left him, in the anguish of separation, he fell to the ground unconscious. And Nimai, who was so restless and mischievous in so many ways, he decided that I will stay home and I will be very well behaved from this day on and try to pacify and console my parents in their misery. Jagannath Mishra began to think that Krishna gave me the son. And now Krishna has taken him away. Everything is happening by the will of Krishna. Everything is the property of Krishna to give or to take. I am just an infinitesimal jiva. I have no control. All we can do is just surrender to Krishna and surrender to his will. And with this philosophical understanding, somehow or other, Jagannath Mishra became somewhat pacified. We should know that the teachings of the scriptures are our constant companions and friends. And if we understand the infinitesimal soul's relationship to Krishna and how everything is happening by the divine will of Krishna, and we are acting according to our capacity, according to the will of Sri Krishna, with this spiritual understanding of the difference between matter and spirit, in any situation in life, we can find solace and shelter. Therefore, it is said that we should always see through the eyes of the scripture. Our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, would tell us, do not see through your eyes, see through your ears. What you have heard from the great sadhus, what you hear from the scriptures, you must see with that vision. And it is true. If we properly read the books of our Gurudev, or of the great souls, and we understand them properly, in any situation in life, happiness, distress, success or failure, pleasure or pain, if we see that situation according to the teachings of Lord Krishna, we will find hope, meaning, solace, refuge. Because every situation in life we read in the scriptures is an opportunity to surrender to Krishna and deepen your love for Krishna. But we have to see how it is so and how to surrender in such a condition. So Sri Jagannath Mishra taught us by his example how even in his depression he found solace in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. You see, the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is not simply an academic subject that we learn to pass exams like the subjects we learn in school. But this philosophy is meant to live by. This philosophy is meant to see the world through and to perfect our lives more and more at every moment by remembering by remembering sublime teachings of Lord Krishna. Those who remember the words of Krishna and the great acharyas and live by those words, they cannot be defeated by any situation of this world. They can never be conquered by Maya. But they remain like lotus flowers in the filthy pool of material existence. So Nimai, he spent most all of his time at home with his parents, giving them encouragement, giving them assurance, and filling their life with joy. But he also was spending much time at home studying the scriptures. And he was becoming more and more absorbed in such a way that he could explain anything to anyone. And the townspeople were thinking that such erudite scholarship is not even possible for Brihaspati, the priest of the devatas. He can explain anything or refute any argument. And he's so young. And when Sachimata would hear these words of praise for her son, she would become very filled with joy. But Jagannath Mishra, his father, became very, very depressed, very fearful. And one day he came to Sachi Devi and he said, "This is very bad that our child is learning the scripture so well. Because the more he knows the scriptures, the more he will realize that this world is a transient place of birth and death, and there's no reason to become attached to anything or anyone in this world. You remember our son Vishwaroop, our life and soul, how he became so absorbed in the scriptures and so much learned in the conclusions of the illusory nature of Maya and material energy, that he left everything and became a sannyasi. And I'm terribly fearful that if our Vishwambar also sees the world according to the eyes of the scripture, he's going to leave everything and take sannyas. And he's our life and soul. He's the only reason we live. Therefore, we must forbid him to ever read any books. He must be illiterate and stay home with us." Sachi Devi said, "Why do you want our son to be illiterate? How will he maintain himself? How will he support himself? What virtuous Brahmin will want to give their daughter in marriage to an illiterate fool? It is important that he studies. After all, a Brahmin is meant to be educated and make his livelihood by teaching others." And Jagannath Mishra, he replied to Sachi Devi, "What are you saying? You are a qualified daughter of a qualified Brahmin and you are speaking like this? Do you think it's because of education that anyone is provided anything?" He said, "Look at me. I'm a very, very highly learned Brahmin who knows all the scriptures, but we hardly have enough food on the table. And there are people who don't even know one letter of the alphabet. And yet there are thousands of people at their door asking them for money and donations. Actually, Krishna provides for everyone. You are a virtuous woman, and we are a pious family. Do you not think that Krishna will give a good wife to our son and provide everything for him? Have you not seen that there are people who are so learned and they are so fabulously wealthy, but sometimes they contract an incurable disease and they suffer terribly? They suffer worse than the penniless beggar. Today when we were driving here, Sri Galim Prabhu was pointing out some people sleeping on the sides of the road. And Mother Jayashree, she said, this is simple living. And we were looking and thinking, yes, they're sleeping on the street, but they're sleeping. Most rich people, they're so much in anxiety, they can't even sleep. Even with their big houses and nice beds, guards and security. So Jagannath Mishra was explaining to Sachi Devi that it's not a question of literacy or wealth that makes you happy. It's a question of Krishna. If he wants to give you happiness, you'll be happy, and if he wants to give you distress, you'll be distressed. So you have nothing to fear, just have faith in Krishna. He will provide for our sons. He will give him a good, noble wife, and we will provide everything for him. But he must remain illiterate. He cannot leave home. So Jagannath Mishra, he called Nimai, and he said, Vishwambar, from this day you will not study, but you will remain at home with us. So then he decided to retaliate. He would not go against his father's word. His father said, don't study, but you can do anything else. So he really decided to do everything else. He became very mischievous. He and his friends, they became actually the joy of all of Navadvip, but in a very, very mischievous manner. During the day, anything they saw in their own homes or in anything, anyone else's home, they would break to pieces. Shigauranga Mahaprabhu ki! After all, he's Brahma, he's Vishnu, he's Shiva, he has the right to create, he has the right to destroy anything. It may appear mischievous, but actually it's perfectly natural for the Lord. He is the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer. He was destroying, of course, only little things. And he was so beautiful, so wonderful, so charming, that even when he would go to someone's house and destroy all their property, the people would simply think, how wonderful. Just the opportunity to see this beautiful golden child. And during the day, he and his friends, they would look and they would analyze, or as we say, they would scope out what sort of activities they would perform at night. They would find nice plantations of bananas and gardens. And then when night would come, Nimai would take one other friend with him, and they would put a blanket over them with two holes for their eyes, and they would make the blanket look just like a big bull. And dressed up as bull, the two of them under the blanket would go into the agricultural fields and start breaking down the banana trees and stealing the bananas. And when the people would see it was night, they would just see this outline of a big bull crashing through their fields. They would become very much afraid. And sometimes he and his friends, they would go to people's homes and they would lock the doors from the outside so no one could get out. And then they would laugh. They actually made people prisoners of their own homes. And when they had to respond to the call of nature, there was no way out of their houses. So they would be in great distress. And Nimai and his friends would simply run and jump and laugh. And when the news came to Jagannath Mishra, he was very satisfied. Let him do anything he wants, but he should not study. He could do anything as long as he's at home with us. So one day, Sri Jagannath Mishra went out of town for some seva, and Some of the neighboring ladies came to Sachi Devi and they said, "Your son, he's sitting in the pot of contaminated pots." And Sachi Devi said, "What? How is this?" And she came out of the house and there she saw her beloved Vishwambhar sitting on all the dirty pots. Sachi Mata would cook in clay pots,
but inside
flames of the fire, and they were discarded and thrown away in a pile of garbage, and these pots would pile up, and beautiful Vishwambhar Gauranga was sitting at the top of the pots like a king on his throne. But because of all the soot, his hands and his arms and his feet and his face, his whole body was covered with black. There are many examples. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, he was like a golden champaka flower with beautiful black bees swarming over it. It appeared like this. Because he was covered with black, some people actually were seeing the beauty of Krishna in him. But in any case, Sachi Mata, due to a parental affection, she scolded Nimai, "What are you doing up there with all these contaminated pots? You are the son of a Brahmin. You should know you should never be in unclean places. Now you come down and take your bath." And he replied, "But how do you expect me to know what is clean and what is unclean if you want me to remain illiterate and I'm not allowed to read any books? What do you expect from an illiterate?" And then he began to speak in such a way that he revealed the truth of himself, but nobody could understand because he spoke with such childish, childlike innocence. He said, "Besides this, mother, that I am the supreme, and anything I touch becomes pure. Wherever I reside, the Ganges and all purified places reside. And besides that, these pots, you have used them to cook for Lord Vishnu. Therefore, because of their have been used in the service of Vishnu, they are pure. And by their touch, even the most contaminated things will be purified. And besides this, unless you allow me to continue my studies, I will not come down from this pile of dirty pots." So the neighborhood ladies, they all began to look at Sachi Devi and said, "What? You will not allow him to study? Such a rare soul, he wants to study? To have a child that wants to study? This is a great fortune. Our children, we have to force them to study. How can you keep him from doing this? How can a mother and a father want their children to be illiterate? This is very bad." So Sachi Mata, she climbed to the top of the pots and personally brought Nimai home to give him bath. And just then, Jagannath Misha returned, and Sachi Mata explained to him what just happened. She said, "Our son, he is feeling very bad and neglected that he's not allowed to study." And then so many of the townspeople came forth and told Jagannath Misra that it is your good fortune to have such a child. Why are you worried that your son will leave home if he studies? Don't you know that everybody is working under the direction of Krishna? If Krishna so desires, even if he's illiterate, he'll leave home. And if Krishna wants him to remain home, what do you have to fear? But how can you allow him to be like this? So Jagannath Misra, he said, "You are all my friends and well-wishers. Whatever you say, I must do to satisfy you." So then he decided to inaugurate the next level of Vishwambhar's studies. and he had him initiated with the samskara of giving him the sacred thread, upanayana. And it is described that when they performed this sacrifice of giving Lord Gauranga the sacred thread, Shankarshan, Anantashesh, appeared in the form of the sacred thread, who was actually none different than his brother Vishwarup. So when the sacred thread was put around his body, he was actually being embraced by his beloved brother Vishwarup again in the form of the Brahman thread. And he looked so beautiful. And as the ceremony took place, after the yajna and the other rituals, it is the custom that the newly initiated Brahman goes to collect alms. So Nimai had his little begging pot. And at that time, he actually took on the mood of Lord Vamanadev. And anyone who saw him could visually see Lord Vamanadev himself. With his beautiful golden form, he went house to house begging alms. And it is said that whoever saw the beauty of the Lord in his mood of Vamanadev, going from home to home begging, that person attained pure, unalloyed devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! So in this way, Lord Vamanadev, in his beautiful, wonderful form, appeared in this age of Kali Yuga to beg from the homes of the people of Navadvip. But it is explained that those who gave in charity to this Vamanadev, who was in the form of Lord Chaitanya, Gaurasundar, they achieved a much greater benediction than even Bali Maharaj. Because he was giving pure prema, unmotivated, unalloyed love of Krishna to anyone who would simply accept. How wonderful that Lord Gauranga, he was not only going to the King of the Universe to beg, but he was even going to the most common people. As Vamanadev, when he begged from Bali Maharaj, actually what he begged is that, please kindly allow me to give you the perfection of life. The Lord has nothing to gain from begging because he is already the proprietor of everything that exists. Saravaloka Maheshwaram. But he is begging us to accept his mercy, which is the fulfillment of all of our desires. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the form of Vamanadev, he was begging everyone to accept his supreme most mercy. The mercy upon achieving one attains pure, unmotivated, unalloyed, loving devotion to Radhan Krishna. And anyone who with sincere faith hears this wonderful narration will achieve the same result. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Shri Vamanadev ki! Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki! Nithai Gaura Premanandi! So tomorrow we will begin the wonderful celebration of Gaur Purnima. Please come to Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. as early as possible. There is a ladies' meeting tomorrow. At what time? Huh? Two thirty in the afternoon. And Jai Shri Mataji will be presiding deity of the ladies' meeting on a beautiful palanquin.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
And on Sunday, festival will go continuously without any stop from 5 o'clock in the morning till at least 10:30 at night. So everyone should try to spend the night Saturday either at the temple or be there by 5 in the morning. And this one day on Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, try to give all 24 hours for the glorification and the service of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. And then on Monday is the celebrated festival of Jagannath Mishra, where the wonderful feast of Lord Chaitanya's prasad in the evening will be served, and there will be also a wonderful festival then. So everyone, kindly, not only for your own spiritual purification, but for the benefit of all living beings, come to invoke the mercy of Mahaprabhu in this world. Thank you very much, Hari Bol.